You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 84. TRC stands for the Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. You can also find us on social media outlets such as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I am your host, Buck, and I am joined tonight by two guys who have withdrawn their name from consideration for the South Carolina head coaching job, both saying they didn't want to be associated with any SEC program that loses to the Citadel. Say hello, T-Bone and G-Man.
Hello, T-Bone and G-Man.
What's going on out there? Anything?
Not a lot of positives, that's for sure.
This is going to be the worst podcast ever.
No, it's going to be the best one ever.
Hey, our basketball team is 5-0.
We'll get to that. We'll get to our basketball team. But first of all,
I'm just saying, I'm trying to be positive, trying to come out of the gate with some positive energy.
First of all, we need to address the elephant in the room, the loss on Saturday to the Citadel, which was the 25th anniversary of the loss to the Citadel in 1990, which I maintain is the most miserable I've ever been after any Gamecock loss. I still think I was more miserable after that 1990 loss than I was after Saturday. I was more melancholy after Saturday, I think.
Yeah, Gamecock fandom has a way of beating you down and making you, you know, numb to such disappointments.
What was the mood like in the stadium, G?
Sort of just started out as sort of stunned disbelief that we could be, you know, stuck in this game with them, that we might lose. But then there was this anticipation that, you know, we're going to just come around and do what we're supposed to do and put them away. And there was a little bit of feeling about that. You know, we scored to go up. We got the ball back. And then, you know, Jarrell Adams drops the pass that hit him in the hands.
Could have gone up by two scores right there.
Go up two scores, you win that game. But after that, there was just sort of the air went out of the stadium, and you kind of just felt this doom that we're going to lose this game. You know, it hit me there that we're going to lose this game, and it never left me. And when we didn't get the 4th-and-1 play, which don't even get me started on why we ran what we ran, I got up and left, and I didn't see another play. So I haven't yet to see the phantom touchdown.
Yeah, that was cool. But the funny thing on that is I heard the whistle. Did you hear the whistle on that play? I mean, I knew as Pharaoh was running down the sideline that it didn't count. Did you think it counted?
No, I believed it in real time. My whole family believed it. We were jumping up and down, laughing hysterically. Yeah. And then we see everybody kind of stand around looking at each other. And I'm like, wait, what? I thought it was a push-off. I went through all these different permutations of what happened. But you know, again, it ended up being Jarrell Adams that was apparently the guilty party.
Was he the one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible
athlete. I think he's got NFL potential, and you know, he's only cost us, what, 3 of our last 4 games.
So. G-Man, are you drinking Michelob Ultra?
It's the only beer I could find.
You are a girl.
I had a Bud Light, and then I got an Ultra. There's the only two alcoholic beverages I could find. You're drinking water.
You might as well be drinking this. You might as well. I'm holding a water up to the camera. So anyway, back to the Citadel game. Yeah, so they jumped out, what, second play of the game they scored a touchdown?
Yes, they did. Second play of their, no, I think.
Well, second play of their
first
possession. Yeah, right. So we were down, what, 14-3 at one point. So I was thinking at that point, you know, even when we kicked a field goal to make it 14-6, I'm thinking, you know, we can't keep kicking field goals. They're going to run all over us all game. The defense between, you know, the Citadel's second touchdown and their last touchdown played pretty well. I mean, they really shut them down.
When Sky Moore finally got in the game.
Yeah, right. who for he missed time because he attended a funeral, but it was not a punishment. It was because he missed prep time. Well, guess what? Sky Moore with no prep time is better than everybody else on our defense with a full week of practice. All right? You know, you don't sit. There's something else brewing there. I just can't believe that that's true. But anyway. So we fall 23-22 to the record goes to 3-8. I don't
say that again.
We're 3-8.
3-8.
You want me to reiterate? And after Saturday, we're going to be 3-9.
Yeah.
3-9. What are our chances against Clemson on Saturday? I mean,
zero.
Do you hold out any hope at all? When you really,
zero.
For some reason, I'm starting to see, I guess as the week progresses, there are some people on Twitter that are like, you know, maybe we got a chance. Maybe if we do this or if we do that. If you, like, do matchups, Clemson runs the ball well. They throw the ball well. They have a fierce defense. Tell me what we've got to combat any of that.
Nothing.
I mean, I'm really afraid it's going to be a dial-a-score situation. And I'm wondering deep down, the way that Dabo's been talking this week, he's been he's been like, you know, I don't know much about Sean Elliott. No, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I know their quarterback. Not sure what his name is. I mean, he's been disrespectful in a respectful way when he's been interviewed, which makes me think he's going to twist the knife if he gets the chance.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to twist the knife. This is their chance to try to exorcise the demons of the 5-game winning streak. You know, last year they won, yes, but you know, it was fairly average game. But this is the time for them to get us back, and they're going to go for it. It's going to be ugly.
They want ugly. Another 63-17. That's what they want.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that is well within reach.
And, you know, they had Deshaun Watson in the game against Wake Forest with 40 seconds to play. I think they finally took him out with less than a minute, you know, up by 20 points. They finally took him out.
That's playoff stuff right there. And it's stupid, but that's playoff stuff.
Dabo says it's not. He didn't say. He said that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right.
And he's a good Christian man. He would never lie about something like that.
Yeah, Dabo never. He would never lie.
So I'm gonna ask you a question, and then I'm gonna talk for a little bit, and then I'm gonna let you answer it. You know, I wrote a blog post on Sunday after the Citadel game, and I basically said 2015 is the worst season ever. So my question is, is 2015 the worst season ever? And let me say something before you. I want you to think about this because I don't know. Do you guys know we still have a website? Did you know we had a website?
No.
Have you read it recently?
I did read your post. I did read your post. Yes.
T-Bone's just holding his head in his hands. I'm getting really worried here.
I got nothing.
So anyway, I wrote this blog post. So I want to clarify a couple of things. The fact that I have to clarify things just solidifies the fact that I'm not a very good writer. So what I was doing, I was comparing what's going on now to what happened in 1988 and 89. And I said this situation, this season, was worse than those two seasons. What I did not say.
Wait a minute. 88 and 89?
98, 99.
Yeah.
Did I say 88, 89?
I don't know.
You weren't paying attention.
Those weren't good years either. So.
Yeah. Like pretty much.
throw a dart
right
at that time in the schedule. Yeah.
So what I did not say was that this team was worse than those teams. I mean, quite the contrary. I think the 2015 Gamecocks could handle the 98, 99 Gamecocks pretty easily. So that's not it. I obviously wasn't comparing records since we've won 3 games this year and we won 1 in 98 and 0 in 99. I wasn't talking about point differentials or the way we've lost games compared to the way we lost in those years. What I'm talking about when I say that this year is worse than those and therefore the worst in Gamecock history, has a much more emotional component to it. And since that's a subjective measurement, you can feel however you want to about it, but hear me out. In 98-99, we had one bowl victory in our history. It was the 1994 season. We won it on January 1st, 1995. We were pretty much a bottom feeder in the SEC, had average to below average seasons every year. So to fall to 1-10 or 0-11, you know, it was sad and depressing and it was awful and all those feelings. And, you know, people still use it today. They say, oh, how soon we forget about 1-21. Oh, we're spoiled and all this. Well, what I'm telling you is when you look at where we've been the last 5 years, from 2010 to 2013, particularly to win an SEC East title, to go 11-2 three consecutive years, finish in the top 10 all 3 years, including a number 4 finish in the country less than 2 years ago, to have established ourselves at the top of the SEC, put ourselves in the conversation to win our division every year, to go from that to 7-6, that was bad, but then to fall all the way to 3-9, to lose your head coach in the middle of the year, to lose to the Citadel is more painful than those 2 years at the end of the last century. That's my point.
Methinks the host doth protest too much. you know it's not true. And I'll tell you why it's not true. I mean, it feels rotten. It feels absolutely rotten. But the difference in the 98-99 team is – Or the feeling, fan base, whatever, the culture, is we didn't know if it was possible. It kind of underscored that, you know what? Maybe it's never going to be good here. Maybe we always going to stink. Maybe our years are divided between the years we go 7-6 and the years that we go 1-10.
Right.
Well, we've proven that's not the case. You know, good teams have bad years. I mean, Georgia never has a bad year. They have a 8-4 year and they all think it's bad. But, you know, Florida misses out on bowls every now and then. I saw the other day where LSU basically took the entire 90s off. They lost a lot of games. So I'm saying it does feel rotten and it feels bad to taste, you know, that degree of success and then miss out. But we don't have all those unanswered questions now that we used to have. We know it's possible here. We know we can do well.
So to
we
you,
know
it's,
that this is a, wow, is a wow. speed.
So to yeah. you, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
Yes, that's what you're saying. Whoever came up with that saying is crazy. It is absolutely better to have loved and lost. The man who first said that, never really loved.
I want to say this though. I mean, and I hear you. I hear you on that. Because we've come down, you know, really fast. We've crashed and burned at a very quick pace. But there's certain things about the 0-11 or 1-10, that 1-21 era that we went through that I'll never get out of my mind. I'll never forget any time we had a turnover, begging that they returned it for a touchdown.
Right.
Because you knew there was no chance.
The offense was going to put any points on the board.
They could score.
Yeah.
At least now we have the ability to move the football, you know, occasionally, you know, usually through the air because we know we can't run, you know, can't run a lick. But I don't know. I mean, I hear you. I'm sort of torn on your statement, but that 1-21, man, that was low.
So let me put the icing on it for you. Okay. The icing is to have Clemson, a team that we've beaten 5 years in a row.
No.
To be having
we did beat them
5 years in a row. We had beaten them 5 years in a row until last year. For them to be having their best year in 35 years, to be ranked number 1 in the country, to be going to the college football playoff and possibly playing for a national championship in a few weeks, that is like a dump truck of salt in the world.
That is bad.
I mean, that makes
really bad.
You cannot discount how much worse that makes us feel about this season.
Right. No, it does fire up all the feels. We're having all the terrible feels, all the, you know, apocalyptic kind of feels about this football season. But if the question is it the worst South Carolina season ever? It's just empirically not. And you gave all the objective standards, why not? But we still shouldn't feel that way. There's no connection between the Clemson season and the South Carolina season. It's just,
oh, there is. Oh, there most certainly
not,
is.
Not until Saturday. There's not. There's because, about to be one big ugly connection, but
I mean, what's
but
the?
We've won in years they've won, and we've stunk in years they've stunk. You know, it's not an either or kind of thing. One of the worst football games I ever watched was, I guess, a South Carolina team coached by Sparky Woods play a Clemson team coached by Ken Hatfield. And I think both coaches were fired right after that game.
That was the Dexter McLeon game.
Yeah, that was horrible.
We lost 1 year, but it was prior to 63-17, a good bit prior, 45-0. I think 89 was the year we lost 45-0 at home to them.
That was the Brinson Buckner get some players year.
Get some players.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised to hear some Clemson people screaming that at us. Did you see the players that were interviewed for Clemson today? A couple of them said that when they have been to Columbia a couple of times that they've had batteries thrown at them and batteries and cans.
Whatever, man. Battery, really?
And who's carrying around batteries? I mean, that story reeks of, like, what, do you have your Walkman on you? You know, why do you have batteries?
Right.
Nobody's carrying batteries.
That's crazy. Like, that's just ridiculous.
The scene from Do the Right Thing, DMF or D.
yeah, whatever. Well, I'm not down with that, but I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Man,
they got to tell them something to get pumped up for this game because they know what we know. And the only way they could lose is if they come in there and zombie walk through that game. So, yeah, it's a hostile environment. Everybody hates,
but we're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink out.
Right.
That's what Sean says.
We're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at them. That's what we're going to do.
Shake their hands and then play them through
you
the
what? You know what we might do? We might even do this. We might even run a play where we spread three guys out wide and we throw back to the offensive tackle.
That's what I missed talking about the Citadel game.
We might even do that. Something like that. Well, have we ever done that before?
We wasted.
Where you throw it back to the tackle?
We wasted a timeout to run that play. We called it. You know, do you remember? And I'm going to talk fondly of Spurrier for a second. You remember whenever Spurrier called a timeout in the red zone, like if we were he's drawing up a play to score a touchdown. And about 90% of the time we did. Yeah. Yeah. So they're over there. Can you imagine what they're talking about over there? It's like, hey, let's throw a slant to Pharaoh. Let's get him out one-on-one on the – they're like, hey, you know that play where we – where we practiced the throw to Brandon Shell, our offensive tackle. Let's run that. We need a 2-point conversion. And it wasn't even close. He caught the ball at the 10. It was a backwards pass. He was going to have to make a move.
Maybe he was going to throw it. Maybe he was going to throw it.
I don't know. He never had the chance. He was going to have to run like make a move. There were like two guys waiting for him.
It was one of the worst. That may have been the worst play call in the history of Carolina football. I mean, really. Just
the funny thing is my cable had gone out at one point, and so I was watching the game on the ESPN app on my phone. So I'm sitting there, like the timeout is going on, and the text from G-Man pops up, and it says, "We wasted a timeout to run that." And I was kind of like, oh, man, I can't wait to see what's coming.
And it was way worse than you expected.
It was so much worse than I thought. I thought it was going to be a dive play. I thought it was like going to be, you know, David Williams.
Because
much better chance of scoring on that, really. Because, you know, in those plays, we actually gained 1 yard. You got to get 3 for 2 points.
I was so high on David Williams from the minute he stepped on campus. And after this year, I hope for his sake that he transfers.
Moves on. I mean, Why did we run the ball with him on fourth and one? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I thought Brandon Wiles, he must be hurt again.
Maybe Brandon Wiles said, "Coach, I don't feel like playing right now."
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I could be.
I mean, apparently maybe that's
full of those guys, right?
That's another thing. I mean, that's how you know how fractured the locker room is now, is that Elliott comes out and talks about Nunez and is kind of a smart ass about, well, I didn't, you know, this day and age, players come to you and tell you that they don't want to play. And, well, you know what, they don't play. And, you know, he was obviously perturbed. And then Nunez goes on Twitter to respond, you know, whoever the new coach is that comes in, it's like, hey, look, we're going to handle everything internally. None of that stuff gets out. You know,
can we start talking about that? I mean, because we need to some of these Gamecock fans that we've gained over the last 10 years.
Turn the page, baby.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. But we need to start setting expectations of what it's going to be like. For example, we're going to kick a lot of people off this team. There's going to be people that leave early. Pharaoh's leaving early, which you got to applaud that. But there's going to be the Troy Hambricks or the, you know, the Demetrius Summers, the guys that you think are integral that are not going to even make it to the spring.
All right, name a guy who's not going to make it to the spring. I've got one in mind.
You've got one in mind?
Shamik Blackshear.
Yeah.
He will not make it to the spring.
But the coaches are going to see a couple low-hanging fruits, and they're going to do that. They're going to kick them off. And the other thing that's going to happen is they're going to talk about how, you know, oh, our strength and conditioning stinks and we're going to get back to basics and we're going to get, you know, it's simple stuff and our guys don't even know how to tackle. And you get the thing you get with the new coach every time you get a new coach. So
right. Do you remember that when Holtz came in, it was like he was so offended at how bad things were under Brad Scott and the way they ran practices, and then when Holtz leaves and Spurrier comes in, he was so offended at the way Holtz did things. Remember he's like, Holtz had him eating fried chicken. You know, we're not eating fried chicken anymore. We're going on a diet. You know,
Spurrier, one of his big things is they don't jog on and off the practice field.
I bet they eat fried chicken in Alabama.
I bet they eat whatever they want to eat.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't think chicken has much to do with it. I hate to tell you.
Whoever comes in.
Do you remember when, was it Troy Hambrick that said, called Lou Holtz Macho Lou in the media?
Three days later,
he's gone.
Hey, I'd like to have Troy Hambrick back right now.
I'd like to have Darren Hambrick.
Yeah.
So, who's going to be our next coach? Anybody know? You got any inside information?
Sources say that a deal's in place and it's been in place for a while. Now, sources say that to a lot of people. And I think just prior to us recording this, Ray Tanner says, no, that's not the case.
Right. Yeah. So, Sports Talk has been, from the very beginning, has been saying Herman is the number one guy. Smart is number two. You know, maybe Fuente is number three. But it's always been Herman. And then, tonight they come out with a report that said essentially Herman's coming in next week, Monday or Tuesday. If he likes what he sees, talking to Ray Tanner, likes the facilities, you know, that they've already agreed to terms, basically. Of course, both Herman and Tanner have both said, no, it's absolutely not true. But again, what do you expect them to say? You know,
it's all part of the dance.
They have to deny. And my gosh, people, if you have not Googled Tom Herman's wife, you want to Google Tom Herman's wife.
I want to Google her right now.
Holy cow. I was in like that last hour of work before my Thanksgiving holiday. And I was like, you know, I really don't know much about this Tom Herman cat. Let me look at his bio and look back. And then all of a sudden it's like Tom Herman's wife. And I think her name is Melissa or Michelle or something. And it's, man, she is gorgeous. I mean, she is good looking. So
good for Tom.
And yeah. From what I understand, they do not have children who are old enough to either play middle linebacker or take up spots on our coaching staff. So
that's gross. So no Shane Burnham, no Skip Holtz, no Steve Jr. Good. All right. Well, I mean, does this excite y'all as much as it does me? I mean, I see some folks out there complaining that Tom Herman would not be a home run hire. I think it's a grand slam hire. I mean, I think he's exactly who we targeted. And I think this is what, if things work out the way we think they're going to work out, I think Tanner is going to say, this is the guy we had targeted from the very beginning. This is who we wanted, and here's why. He's young. He's got a national title. He's offensive-minded. He's a great recruiter. He's energetic. He's that. You know, he's going to tick off all these things that they were looking for, and Herman had it all. You know, people are saying, I've seen today a lot of people saying, what about Les Miles? Les Miles. We do not want Les Miles.
No, the reason that Herman is so exciting is because for 20 years, everybody's been negative recruiting against us with one thing. Your coach is about to retire. You know, and so this guy's young. He's younger than all of us.
Yeah.
Energetic. Organized.
He's 27?
Yeah, exactly. But the other thing, and I just want to plant this in the two of you, in your mind, since no one else is listening to this, I kind of look like Tom Herman, I think. don't you think I kind of look like him?
I mean, well, it depends on which picture you look at, because there's Connor Tapp over at 24/7. Did a piece on him looking different in every photo that you see of him. So, sure, you probably do look like one of those Tom Hermans. G-Man is calling for the microphone.
I'm calling Tom out.
All right.
T.O.
I was doing a bit here.
I'm calling a Tom out. I think that we need to slow down on the, you know, the love fest here for a few minutes.
All right.
Because a lot can change.
You're afraid we're going to get Muschamped.
Yes, I am. And, I mean, there was so much euphoria over that. That was going to be the answer. It was done according to multiple sources. Let's just calm down for a minute. We might get this guy. I think he'd be a great hire. But it's too early to be celebrating and talking about his wife, even though she is good looking. And does he look like me and all this BS? Let's
well, his wife's hot regardless of whether he comes to coach at South Carolina or not.
That's absolutely true. But I'm not sure that we can affect anything in a jinx manner, but I just want to calm expectations.
No, just in case you want us to shut up, don't you?
Well, I'd love to get him here, but I don't think Les Miles is about to get fired.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty clear. There's going to be some other guys who get fired. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. You saw my text today, which I can't quote on the air because it had some adult language in it. Yeah. But you saw my text.
So you're telling everybody in Gamecock Nation to CTFD.
Yes.
Calm down.
That's right.
I was sitting here furiously
trying to figure out what it is.
Possibilities. I didn't know what.
Who's your backup? I've got a backup name for you that we haven't even talked about.
Don't say Rich Bisaccia. Don't say Rich Bisaccia.
Well, everybody knows.
I know you're Kirby Smart.
I was on the smart guy. I was on the smart bandwagon from the beginning, and I still think I don't see him as a home run. I see him as a very effective hire for the long term. I think he would do a good job. So give us your backup,
Mike Leach.
The Pirate.
Have you seen what he's done up at Washington State?
I
tell you, he kind of fell off the radar for a couple of years because that team was so awful, but he's getting it turned back around.
You get Leach in here, and we'll be on probation in like 5 years.
They'll announce it at the same press conference.
by the way. Oh, man. So
they say the smokescreen candidate is Larry Fedora.
I brought up Fedora to somebody else. I'm wondering why he has not been mentioned for this job at all. Because
he has been. He has been.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen his name.
He definitely is surfaced in the last week or so.
Yeah.
He's gotten some play. He's sort of in the second tier of candidates. He's actually getting more play than Fuente, who they say is all but done at Virginia Tech.
So. All right. Hot news. So let's see. I got a couple of quick Twitter questions. Patrick Warren at PLWARRE says, Les Miles seems young, but is actually old.
62.
Is that better than being young, but seeming old? Is it better to be old and act young, or better to be young and act old?
I get it. And the best thing to do here about being young but seeming old is to let G-Man answer that question. He's the expert on that issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we're all the same age. I probably act the youngest of the three of us. So in contrast, when G-Man was like 16, he acted like he was 50. So
right.
He was a grandpa when he was a teenager. He was very responsible, very responsible guy. I got
a good young man. Yes.
Yeah. So which one's better? I think it's better since we're all old on this show. I think it's better to be old and act young. Yeah. We're like the cool old guys, is what we are.
Well, two of us are.
Yeah. We'll let you folks decide which two. Lincoln Greer has two questions. He's at Lincoln_Greer. Do you think high-profile coaching positions are getting less time to prove themselves?
Yes, definitely. Because I heard on the radio this morning to some Penn State fan. I listen to that college sports on Sirius sometimes. And some guy called in, some Penn State fan, saying that they might give James Franklin one more year.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, didn't he just get hired?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not a big Franklin fan, but it's just ridiculous.
There's so much pressure to win. I mean, Muschamp won, 10 or 11 games his first year?
Yeah.
Somebody like Muschamp would have probably gotten another year or two or three.
Somewhere else.
20 years ago, at Florida. But, yeah, you gotta win pretty much instantly. His second question is also, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
I don't know what I mean. Do you say giblet or giblet? I'm always mispronounced.
I don't even know what that is.
A giblet.
Giblet gravy is delicious. That's my favorite. I put it on everything except for my least favorite. The cranberry sauce.
I don't like cranberry sauce either.
Yeah, not a
nasty. It's nasty.
Garbage.
I mean, it's nasty.
Total garbage.
Yeah, not
it's
a fan.
It's a garnish at best.
My mom makes a sweet potato souffle.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
It has pecans in it, because in the South we don't say pecans. It's pecans.
That's right.
And marshmallows that get like toasted in the oven, and you mix all that up together, and you just get it all over your face and everything. It's really, really
my dad, who everybody knows on this podcast, is sort of a Southern gourmet. He makes this dressing with oysters in it, which is fantastic.
Yeah. That's a traditional dish. That is a traditional Southern dish.
Oyster dressing. Done. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So football on Saturday. Thank God the season will be over.
Yeah, please.
And then we'll have to sit back and pull for everybody that Clemson plays the rest of the way.
Go Bama.
To make ourselves feel better.
They're our only hope.
I kind of think they are. There are too. That's the sad thing. I think Clemson can beat pretty much anybody. I'm not saying they're the best team in the country, but on any given day, I think they could probably win. But Saturday, no shot. I will eat my hat if we beat them on Saturday. I'll reveal myself and videotape me eating my hat.
I got you'll reveal yourself, or you'll reveal your identity?
Oh, both.
Please don't reveal yourself.
No, please don't.
So can we talk a little college football playoff for a second?
Yeah, sure.
So it's pretty much known that Clemson beats us, Clemson beats North Carolina, which they're going to do, and Bama is going to beat Auburn. Even though the game is at Auburn, I think they're going to beat Auburn pretty handily. In Florida, I mean, what a farce. I mean, they're going to beat Florida by, what, 25, 30 points? You all think?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah.
So those guys are in for sure. Notre Dame is currently ranked fourth.
Notre Dame's going to lose.
They're fifth? They're fifth?
Just today.
Okay. I haven't seen it. So who's fourth? Oklahoma?
Iowa.
Yeah.
Who's third? Who's third then?
Clemson, Alabama, Iowa.
Oklahoma.
I think it is Oklahoma. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Notre Dame also goes to Stanford.
Right. They went ahead and corrected it because they went ahead and corrected it now because if Notre Dame had won, they had no way of exiting them from the rankings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you got to leave out the Big Ten or the
Big 12.
Big 12. Yeah, which I thought was kind of interesting.
So Iowa's going to get beat. They play Nebraska this weekend, but then they've got to play the Big Ten championship game, which I think will be Michigan State. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
So Iowa's going to get beat. They'll be gone.
Unless Michigan State loses this week. I think who they're playing, Penn State?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that what you want? What was your point of all this?
Yeah,
I was
just
trying to figure out.
I was just curious what you guys thought about Notre Dame because – I don't think they're deserving, and I was just curious to see if they would sneak in there. But I guess
I had a strong opinion about that last week.
Notre Dame's best win is Temple. That's their best win this year. Their best win is actually the Clemson loss. That's their best win.
Right.
That's the most impressive showing of the year. What was your strong opinion of it last week?
No, I was just saying that's when it mattered, when Notre Dame was actually in the top four.
I'm glad to hear that they have dropped them because that's what needed to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, where are you going next?
Basketball. South Carolina Gamecocks are the 2015 Paradise Jam champions.
Yeah, can we shut off his mic while we talk about this?
He's not going to talk anyway. So, I mean, he doesn't
know. Because usually if he does talk, it's some sort of making fun kind of – respect. You do need to acknowledge this, T-Bone, that this is the only topic where we're going to have any success this year. I mean, this is the only positive discussion we can possibly have.
Too early to say that.
I'm not saying we're going to be world beaters. I'm just saying the women's team is very good, obviously, and the men's team is much improved. So it is a positive topic to discuss. But I'll say this about the men's team because I watched all three games. Did you watch all three games?
I did not watch any of the three games because I do not have CBS Sports Network on my cable.
Wow. Yeah. You missed out.
Well, yeah, it sounded like because I did watch the first two games and I was kind of frustrated at our shooting and we seemed kind of sloppy and it felt a lot like last year.
Right.
But just in keeping up with those three games on Twitter, it sounded like we shot a lot better, sounded like we moved the ball a lot better. Didn't necessarily play great defense, but the way our offense was playing, we didn't particularly need to.
Well, yeah, we're not a great shooting team. We're not going to be all year, but we have so much depth.
Right.
Compared to past years, I mean, there's like nine guys you can run out there. And those two big Lithuanian dudes, I'll tell you what. I mean, those guys are for real.
Think about
how much better
they've gotten in the four years that they've been here.
Oh, yeah. And playing Carrera at the three is a huge improvement. Not having to play him at the four, he can hit the outside shot. And Dozier is the real deal. Now, they're going to bring him along really slowly. Because he makes a lot of stupid bonehead mistakes, but the kid can play. So I'm not going to talk about this too much because I can see T-Bone starting to, zone out. But I'm very excited about the basketball team.
No, quite the opposite. I watched every minute of all three of those games and was enwrapped by it. A couple of thoughts that I had is I think if Dave Odom's out there watching somewhere, he's got to be really, really impressed with our low post game.
Wait a minute, are you serious, Clark? Did you really watch those games?
No, I didn't watch
them. Okay, I didn't think you did.
Yes,
I don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
You don't even know who's on our team.
That sounded pretty good, didn't it?
He doesn't know who's – name one player on our team who I haven't named so far.
Mindaugas.
I named him already. I talked about him.
Kychinus.
I talked about it.
Limonis.
Sindarius Thornwell.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you what, Sindarius Thornwell played an outstanding tournament down in, at the Paradise Jam. He was a, he's turned into a fantastic leader for us. He's a super basketball player. PGA is going to be a superstar. You just sit back and watch him play. He's going to develop over the course of the year.
That's pretty good.
That's better than that my – is it better than my Spurrier?
Good. Yeah, yeah, it's way better than your Bill Clinton, too.
I tell you what, I'm just going to be out in the –
I didn't mean to do it. I really didn't.
I tell you what, guys, if you want to come hang out, I'll be out in the tool shed. I spend most of my time out there. All right. So Jeff Cars with a Twitter question, at Jeff Cars, J-E-F-F-K-A-H-R-S. What is the ceiling for the men's basketball team?
Ceiling.
So I'll tell you this. We're 5-0. Looking ahead at the schedule, it's not that tough. It's not out of the question that we could be 12-1, 13-0 heading into the SEC portion of our schedule. Which the fact that our schedule is not that difficult will hurt us come NCAA tournament time.
Right.
I think we're practically an NIT lock. I can't see us not at least making the NIT. I think we're going to probably have to win 11 conference games to make the NCAA, and right. that might be a stretch. You know, it used to be years ago, if you won 10 conference games in the SEC, you were just about a lock for the NCAA. But the year we went 10-6 in the conference, was that 09?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, we didn't come close. We weren't even on the bubble at 10-6 because we had such a week out of conference schedule. So I think the ceiling is, you know, a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think that's probably about the best we can do this year.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And it would be nice. It would be nice to have our name called on Selection Sunday for a change.
It all depends on how strong the rest of the conference is, which is kind of hard to tell at this point.
Yeah, man, there's some – yeah. Vandy, I watched a little bit of Vandy tonight. They looked really good. I don't know how that game turned out. They got out to a hot start. Missouri doesn't look good. Tennessee doesn't look particularly good. Georgia doesn't look good. I mean, it's – Kentucky's a good basketball team. I think Texas A&M is supposed to be pretty good.
LSU.
LSU is going to be good. So, yeah. All right, basketball. Any other women's basketball? The girls have been a little sluggish so far this year, but I think they'll be fine.
Too much talent.
Way too much talent. Like T-Bone. T-Bone's got way too much talent to be doing what he's doing with his life.
Right? I would agree with that. I mean, come on, man.
I mean, you're with
it. I agree.
You know, 18-year-old T-Bone would have been dreaming of being governor by the time you were this age.
I want to talk about the surprise announcement that came out of TRC headquarters earlier this week.
What was that?
About our upcoming road trip.
Oh, well, you know, we haven't locked that down. We talked about possibly.
Yeah, we don't need to get into this, or like groupies are going to start circling and they're going to start following.
Right. Look. We haven't locked this down, so don't go making hotel reservations or looking for tickets. But we're talking about possibly road tripping for the season opener next year up in Nashville.
If you go, I'll be the guy that looks like Tom Herman.
Hermania. We're going to get T-shirts made up that say Hermania. That's right. People will be mistaking you for a 15-year older Tom Herman.
I'm going to go to Columbia on Monday. I got the day off, so I'm going to Columbia on Monday, and I'm going to grow a little goatee before then.
Yeah,
you're walking Ray's ass.
Yeah, and I'm just going to run around and have people cite me.
He's hoping that if he says he looks like Tom Herman enough, that Tom Herman's wife will appear. Like, you know. Anywho, all right.
Good luck with that, dear T-Bone.
So that's going to wrap it up. We'll, you know, the way these podcasts have been going, we'll possibly get back to you next week. If there's a, We might wait till the coach announcement is, well, no, because the coach announcement won't be next week. It'd be the week after. But
I have a feeling we're not going to have much to talk about next week.
Yeah, I'm not sure we want to get on here. You know, if we beat Clemson, we will definitely have a podcast. If we
so we're not having a podcast.
Right. There will be no podcast next week. Because we will be drowning our sorrows. All right. Great. All right. Appreciate everybody listening.
Go, all four of you.
Go Cox. Be respectable against the Tigers. I'm not going to say. Yeah, please just keep it close. And for T-Bone and the G-Man, we will talk to you folks later. We are out of here.
Crazy, you're not just too proud, you're not just plain lazy.